Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I think everything's relative, right? Like, now, like, for us, the best case scenario might have been, like, Marquez gets promoted and he takes over. Like, I don't think any Kool-Aid is really excited about Rafa Marquez. But I think if the alternative Xavi was, like, Nagelsmann, then I'd be like, oh, you know, obviously I would want Xavi to stay there. The thing is, like, I'm trying to be as fair about this as possible. I think with Xavi, if you kind of put everything together and try to be really fair about it, he won the league last season. He's asked for a bunch of signings. He didn't get necessarily the ones he won. Obviously, like, they did all those levers last season, and they did get a bunch of players. This season, he lost Busquets, was replaced with Romeo, and then he had basically perpetually Pedri and Frankie were injured. Lewandowski went to a severe decline, though he had a little bit of a bright patch, you know, in this calendar year. I think, like, he's okay. But I think when I saw his tantrums the last, like, week, I'm like, this is exactly what I want to happen. I want more tantrums. I want more self-implosion, less self-reflection, blaming everyone else except yourselves. I subscribe to this. Whatever is happening there, whatever you guys are complaining about and crying about, I'm in. I'm in for that. I sign up for that. Sam, and, yeah. And I wanted to ask you this because, you know, we were talking a little bit off air about, you know, Tebas and goal line technology and this. And of course, like, I think on some level, Laporta complaining about goal line tech is, you know, in a vacuum is a valid argument. I think we all want it. You know, no Adidisa would disagree with that part of it. I mean, there are other things that are absolutely, like, he looks like he has a tinfoil hat on standing outside of Area 51 talking about, we're going to replay the Clasico. We're going to fight this till death. Okay. But some of the goal line tech is obviously valid. When you saw Tebas's, I was going to say his interview yesterday, but really this goes back to his tweet at halftime of the Clasico. You saw that, right?
Yeah, the new comments post with all the screenshots of various fake news or
which got community
weirdly
noted.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? When it's a guy like Tebas and getting community noted, and you just think, like, come on, like, especially with the Clásico, like, if La Liga has two huge marketing opportunities each year, it's either Clásico at the Camp Nou and then at the Bernabeu. So for the president of La Liga at halftime to be saying, you know, it's such an obvious topic where La Liga are kind of the odd one out. All of the other big leagues have that technology. And yeah, you can talk about the cost, but 4 million euros, I think Tebas said it would cost to put it into La Liga. I mean, 4 million euros, how much is that in the scale of things, really, in a business like football in Spain, in La Liga, where there's so much money, it's not a huge amount.
But yeah, Sam,
it's only used once a season. But
it's a whopping 6 million for both divisions combined. I don't know how we can afford such
whopping,
a thing. Wow.
Whopping. No, I kind of get what Tebas is saying is that if you have VAR and you have the cameras and everything, but I think that's the argument, isn't it? Wasn't that
Yeah.
somebody says that the camera at the Bernabeu wasn't working? How can you have a camera not working if you're gonna go if you're gonna say we don't need to spend 4 million, at least make sure the cheaper option is working properly. Don't have cameras that break down before the biggest game of the season at the Bernabeu.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, go ahead, Herdy.
Yeah, just to quickly, I'll agree with Sam really. Like, the if your alternative is, all that you say it should work, and even then, I don't really think like VAR will solve everything. I think literally, goal line technology is just to not have all those arguments that, Xavi and Laporta had after the game. And it should definitely be there, regardless of whether that was a goal or not, I think. That's all I wanted to say, really. It's nothing new, obviously, but.
I'm gonna admit I'm probably a bit late to this debate, but when watching back the clips of the referees and their VAR conversation, everything, it kind of highlighted the biggest issue for VAR with me, which is that none of the referees were sure, so they didn't make the decision. If we didn't have VAR, then that might have been given as a goal because somebody thought, oh, I think it crossed the line. I'm not 100% sure, but I think so. So I'd rather give it, and then we can discuss and chalk it off. In this case, it was all of the referees saying, we don't think so. Let's see if VAR tells us it should be a goal instead. So it's kind of VAR, even though there's no evidence that VAR will have better proof that it did or didn't cross the line, the referees weren't making that decision because they thought we can fall back on VAR if we're wrong. And then it wasn't that VAR proved that the ball didn't cross the line. It was that VAR had no proof of anything. So it was, let's stick with the decision you guys made on the field, which was very much as soon as the ball went out, it was okay, let's see what VAR says. And I feel like any decision should be a decision as if VAR didn't exist, and then VAR's only there to correct you rather than I'll go with the safe option and then see what VAR says. But in this case, I think from what I've seen, I feel like it probably didn't fully cross the line, the whole of the ball, but who knows really? Even with all the cameras that you have in a Clásico, you can't really tell from any of them, so.
Well, I just this first of all, I'm trying to verbalize this correctly on Tebas because I think the guy is a horrible leader. Like the stuff he says, I mean, he's also tone deaf, and also just like when he came out a couple of weeks ago and he said, you know, when you search child pornography and whatever, you know, it's and he compared it to people copy pirating and getting illegal streams, right? Like there's nothing else that needs to be said. He does all the talking for us. We know like what kind of competency he's running with. But I think I'm a little bit confused about the price thing because it doesn't seem like he is that's even the main reason. Because at first he was the thing was that it was too expensive. And then when he was tweeting his fake news, he was bringing up articles about how it doesn't work. So is it something else? Like what is the real reason you can't implement it. If it's money, correct me if I'm wrong, it's a one-time investment, is it not? 6 million for both divisions is not an annual price.
I think there is a running cost, but it's not as much. I think 6 million is the setup and installation for the first season, and then there's a running cost, but it's like a few hundred thousand euros, much less than his
Yeah.
wages are.
Yeah. So it's not like this annual 6 million that like you're like, oh, we can't put this in the budget every year. It's like, yeah, you want it done. You put it, you implement it, it's done. It's, you know, you spread it over, pull one of your levers, you know, amortize it. See if you can fund, you can lease these cameras, like this goal line tech over like, I don't know, 5 years. Break it down. Who cares? This is a one-time investment forever. So that part is weird. But the other thing is that the problem to me in the Clásico, and again, this is my perspective, but you know, I think it's everyone had a perspective that this was ridiculous, that there was no goal line tech, is that in the stadium, we had no idea what was going on. There was no replay, Sam, you know this. There's no replays. Sometimes you get lucky, there's a screen beside you or whatever you can kind of see, but we had no idea. And I was in my head, I was like, why is this taking so long to figure out? Like, this should have been an instant call, instant. Goal or no goal, and instead of like it, there's already so many problems with there never being an accurate amount of injury time that's added. There's all these problems with the ball's out of play so much, it's slowing the game down. These things that just need to be quicker. And that was one of the main problems with it for me.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The time element that bugs me as well. Like, if you have the goal line tech, it's boom. It's in or it's not. Like, you, the referee knows that instantly. It's not up for debate. Now, here, in apart from creating a debate online and debate among the fans and keeping Barcelona themselves in delusion over the ball across the line and all of that, it's also like a wastage of time. Like, you're just spending unnecessary amount of time, you know, in multiple games throughout the season where it could have been an instantaneous decision. Like, just catch up with the rest of the leagues. Like, come on, you have two of
yeah.
the most marketable sides in the world. Like, come on, catch up.
Yeah.
Well, I think kind of what you're saying, you know, why wouldn't you do it? And I feel like that's kind of Tebas in a nutshell. He's such a stubborn guy that at some point he decided he thought he could save some money there. And it's not a huge amount of money, but he thought he could save some money. And he's just too stubborn, too stuck in his ways to admit,
right.
Oh, maybe I was wrong on that one. Maybe I should change that. And to be fair to Tebas, the odds of having a goal line incident like that happen in the Clásico of all the games to happen, it happens, what, maybe once a season we see something like that. For it to happen in the Clásico, where everybody's watching and there's going to be the huge controversy, is quite bad luck on his behalf. But it does seem very in character for Tebas.
This you brought up the main point to me. Like, that's probably the most important factor in all this, is that he may deep down know that he needs it, but now he's at this point, he's backed himself into a corner where he's doubled down, and he can't be wrong about this thing that he decided a few years ago, and now he needs to be like, see, I'm right. Like, you can clearly tell this is an ego thing for him, because I couldn't believe that he actually quickly went on Twitter during the game when this was happening and started tweeting about it. Like, he didn't need to say anything. Clearly he was triggered that, like, okay, I'm right about this, guys. Like, he could have just said nothing or just waited. And then he went into the interview yesterday. But I think the guy is also just, I don't know what the word is. I'm going to use unhinged because the first one that comes to mind, but I don't know if that's the right word. I think he's definitely tone deaf, but he says things like when he said yesterday that he said, as a Real Madrid fan, I want Mbappe in the league. I don't, like, we don't claim you, first of all. You're not one of us. Second of all, like, I don't think there should be allegiances in this league. Like, can you imagine, Adam, like, hurting him, you watch basketball. Can you imagine if Adam Silver was like, as a fan of the Dallas Mavericks, I'm really glad that they drafted Luka Doncic. What? You can't,
yeah,
say, like, just... you got to be impartial if you have this job.
Yeah, I think one of the main things in your job profile is to be impartial. You can't really go out and say, oh, you know, I support Real Madrid, I support Barcelona, whatever. Yeah, it's just weird. He's a weird guy.
I do wonder if there's like a cultural element to that, though, because, I mean, everybody in Spain, literally everybody has some kind of inclination,
yes,
Real Madrid, Barca. Is that almost Tebas's way of saying, look, somebody's going to find some link that they have to Real Madrid somehow, I might as well just be open about it and say I'm a Real Madrid fan. I'm not saying I agree with it. I think it's crazy, just like you guys do.
Yeah.
But I do feel like it's almost not as badly seen as it would be. For example, in the NBA, if that happened, I feel like there is a slightly less importance to it, but it's still crazy, and especially on the international scene, if you're an international fan who has no link to Spain or the culture or anything or in any way, you'd be like, wait, I'm a Barca fan. Why would I go and support this guy's league? The guy managing it all and setting it all up literally comes out and says he supports our biggest rival.
Yeah, admittedly, I think it would be very difficult to find someone in Spain who doesn't either support Real Madrid or Barcelona. So, like, almost by default, no matter who you appoint, is going to have some allegiance, even if it's not public. I understand that will be difficult. Maybe the solution would be to bring an outsider. I don't necessarily know the solution. But, I mean, as long as, you know, there should be basically an algorithm, a formula, whereas no matter what, you can't really favor one team or the other if you have a set of rules, right? So it shouldn't really matter regardless. But I think even coming out and publicly saying stuff like that is problematic to me. The U.S. tour. What are you guys' thoughts on this? I'm kind of torn because I'm a bit selfish on this. I can understand both sides. I'm curious to know what you guys think about it.
Sorry, Yash, go on.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I don't really... I first of all, want to know, is it like some games or is it many games?
I think Deva said it was going to be one game to start.
Mm.
That's always how it starts, right? It's always going to be one game, then it'll be two, then it'll be three. And
yeah,
then it'll be all of the teams playing one game a season or something.
Yeah, just I think I see why he's doing it, obviously, but I don't really agree with it because... traveling is like, I think it's a really underrated part. Like, they're already, so four of the teams are already going to Saudi Arabia to, you know, play a cup that should be played in Spain. They're already doing that to add to the traveling by going to another continent again. I think that's just a bit too much for the players because even though they're playing the same amount of games, they're traveling a lot, which means they're jet lagged and they're just tired from the traveling. I think
yeah.
that plays a lot. Like that plays a big part in the rest of the season, I think.
I don't find it like I don't really have any stakes because Spain timings are as bad for me and US are even worse for me as a fan from the subcontinent. So I don't have any stakes that it would be easier for me. But yeah, I agree with Ridham's point. Like it's gonna be like the football calendar in itself is already jam packed. And now to include another, you know, in-league game where you, first of all, you also take away the home and away advantage thing. Like whatever game is played, you know, in the US will probably have a lot of, you know, it'll probably be Real Madrid-Barcelona, but let's say it's Real Madrid and Real Betis, right? So Betis home game is moved there, so that takes away the home advantage thing for Betis, and that would be like initially it's one game, like Sam mentioned, it's gonna increase if it comes into play. They're gonna try to have more and more games, and I feel like that would make the smaller teams you know suffer a little bit because home advantage, as much as we denied, it's a thing. Some places are difficult to travel and play against because, you know, maybe the fans are close by, maybe the ground is a certain way, you know, the atmosphere and all of that. It does play a part, and that is why some teams are difficult to beat at home than away. But when you put that sort of element of, okay, this game might be played outside, you take that away. So I am not a fan of that. I'm not a fan of Supercopa de España being played in Saudi Arabia either, to be fair. So yeah, I don't like this added element. Yeah, it's good for fans in the US. They'll get to see their you know favorite team and favorite players more than after the preseason as well, because at the moment preseason is the only time you can realistically watch a Real Madrid game in the US. So that would probably increase. That would help the fans there. I get that part, but yeah, I mean. Overall, I don't really support it because I don't have anything. I don't gain anything from it, from the games and anything. I cannot attend them. Watching them will be in very ungodly hours for me anyway. So yeah, nothing for me in that.
Well, there's a lot of logistics that make it difficult for me. Like, yeah, selfish. you know, like for me, it's closer. And you know, we have a lot of Americans on this call, and I'm sure they have opinions on it too. But like for me, like, okay, it's closer. But as a fan, I wouldn't go and buy a ticket to it. It would be easy for me because I can just be like, oh, great, I can just go to this game as a journalist instead of flying across the ocean, right? I'm a very weird, unique case, and obviously nothing should be based on me. But that was just my selfish feeling, oh, it's closer. But as a fan, I wouldn't buy a ticket. Like, these preseason tours in the U.S., we have patrons who have told me this both in person and also, like, on DMs, like, yeah, we'll come to your podcast in that city that you guys are doing it, but we're not buying a ticket to the game. It's crazy expensive. Like, we can't afford to go to that game. It's insane. And, like, in some of these cases, like, they're more expensive than, like, going to I mean, when you factor in going to Spain, there's a lot more. There's hotels, flights. It's not actually cheaper. But, like, the ticket to the game itself, you know, in La Liga, it's often cheaper than what you pay to go to, like, a Vegas Clásico or Dallas Clásico. It's out of control. But the home factor is huge, Yash, that you mentioned. When this was first circulated a year or two ago, what they said, and because it was a Girona game, I think, what they said was they would fly out all the Girona fans there. Which, like, okay. I also, like, wonder, like, if that's the case, like, how much money are you actually making on this thing? Is it more of a marketing thing? The other thing is, it has to be Real Madrid and Barcelona involved, doesn't it? Are you going to, like, it's a bad look if you put, like, Betis and, I don't know, Mallorca, random example, in a game in Chicago, and the stadium is, like, half empty. It's a pretty bad look. So it has to be Real Madrid or Barcelona. The other thing is, like, the other thing that really concerns me is the mileage. Like, you guys pointed out about the travel. It actually puts your teams in your league at a disadvantage. Because now, like, these teams, Real Madrid, Barcelona, who are representing your league in Europe, in the Champions League, midway through, they have to travel to the U.S. and come back. So, like, if they're facing Manchester City or PSG, they might be at a disadvantage in that situation because they'll be more tired. They had to travel more. So those are the things that I think about. I can understand why they're doing it from a marketing perspective. And it will be fun, and it probably will be successful. But I think there are logistical concerns, and I'm actually wondering how much money they actually do make off it. I don't know.
I feel like that point you made as well, Ian, is really important because when you're a Real Madrid fan, I mean, maybe some of the guys will correct me, but for me, if you're a Real Madrid fan in the US, whatever, you kind of dream about going to the game, going to the stadium. You like watching it because you see all the fans in the stadium, you know, the guys who go there every week and are there with the flags and the banners and things, and that's kind of what you want to be a part of. You're not growing up saying, one day I want to watch Real Madrid play at the MetLife Stadium.
Yeah,
that's not the dream. That's not, and then you're just surrounded by everybody else who's in the same feeling as you. And I guess that's kind of part of the modern football argument is if you go to a game and it's just full of everybody who's a tourist who's going to their first ever game, you don't have that atmosphere, which is what makes it so special. And when you think about which are the nights that are unforgettable as a Real Madrid fan, and I'm sure you'll be thinking of Champions League nights, whatever, where there's that crazy atmosphere, which, yeah, I'm sure there would be a great atmosphere if you have a game in the US, but it's not the same as an atmosphere on home turf in front of the local fans who go to every game and are up for this big special game that they're there to watch. So it's a weird one because I feel like, yeah, it's possibly not as appealing even to the Real Madrid fans in the US who could go and see a game. It might not be as appealing as perhaps Tebas and La Liga think it might be.
No. I mean, especially for those preseason, I couldn't tell you anything that happened any of those preseason games I attended. Nothing. I'm sure Barcelona fans have like they have hung up the Rafinha goal on their wall in the Clásico friendly. It's like a huge trophy to them. I couldn't tell you what happened at all. Like, I remember Vegas for other reasons, because it's Vegas, not because of the game, the Clásico game. Yeah, Crystal say in the chat, $700. Plus parking and a ticket in the Clásico in Vegas was $700. She came to the podcast. It was lovely seeing you, Crystal. But, like, yeah, those are the kind of prices we're talking about. And the thing is, like, that's a unique situation. Clásico in Vegas is going to be a cash cow, right? It's going to be crazy. But not every La Liga game is going to attract that audience and that kind of price point. So I don't, you know, and that's the thing.
And the other thing as well with the logistics is not just the travel and everything, but the time difference, like Yash was saying. It's terrible for Yash, but for the players, if they're going to Vegas from Spain, I think that's, what, 9 hour time difference? If that's in the middle of the season, you have to find a time where there's not going to be a Champions League or an important Copa game coming up the next midweek or whatever. You're still going to have players flying out, adjusting to a 9 hour time difference, coming back in the space of a week. Like, that's exhausting. You're not going to have athletes at their most optimal elite level playing when in their head they should probably have been asleep 3-4 hours ago.
Yeah. They're probably taking a red eye flight there too on the way back to Spain. Like, it's going to be tough. It's demanding on the body, no question. So yeah, I don't know how they figure it out, but Sam, would you say it's safe to say that it's going to happen? We're going to see the test run?
Well, Tebas is very, very in favor of it. I think a lot of it will depend on the Spanish Federation's elections that are coming up and who gets elected and how they get on with Tebas, and if they decide to die on that hill of battling Tebas and refusing to allow that to happen. But at the moment, with the chaos at the Spanish Federation, Tebas can kind of do what he wants, and nobody's going to come out and say, no, we won't let that happen. So I think he's taking advantage of it a little bit now.
From a political standpoint, wouldn't it be really easy to run against Tebas? You just prepare a big speech saying, all right, guys, go line tech and we're not traveling. Everyone would just like, yeah, like, it would be so easy to run against them, wouldn't it? I actually don't know. I'm ignorant about this. Is there anyone? Like,
in the same way that it would be very easy to run against Florentino Perez as Real Madrid president for some people. Like, he has Tebas is very influential. He has a lot of important friends in high places. You need a lot of financial backing to be able to run to be La Liga president. And I don't think anybody's run against him for the last 2 or 3 terms now. So it's very difficult to displace him. And I think there's also a bit of everybody knows that Tebas is the president. So if you're going to rock that cart, you have to have a lot of support behind you. And he has a lot of clubs backing him. I mean, think about the CVC deal and things like that. It's only really Real Madrid and Athletic Club who are against him. And Florentino Perez can be very influential, but he hasn't really tried to get rid of Tebas in that way yet by backing anybody else. And that, I think that is telling. If even Florentino doesn't take you on to that level, if Florentino wanted Tebas out completely, then I feel like it would have happened by now, but it hasn't. So I think he perhaps is there for as long as he wants. And I think even in the interview he gave yesterday, he said, because he kept saying that this was going to be his last term as president, and 2027, 28, I think it is, that's up, he would leave and retire and call it a day. And this week he said, if the Super League is still an idea in 2027, 28, then I will consider standing again if clubs ask me to. So I feel like he's not going away anytime soon either. Sports Social Podcast Network.